the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded in his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that we may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus forgiveness receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, to give us the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater shall be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
You may be seated. I will read a passage of Scripture, one that was Dr. Gross's favorite, Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. I knew Dr. Gross for a long time. I've been pastor here for over 18 years. And before I was pastor, I was a member of this church for 5 or 6 years. And one of the first homes that I went to was Dr. Gross's home, not as a member even at that point. He invited me into his home. And somewhere along the line, I realized that Philippians 4:8 that we just read, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, that verse was his favorite verse. I don't remember him ever telling me that this is my favorite verse. All I remember, somewhere down the line, I either read that in a Bible study or in a sermon. And I remember his face would glow. he loved that passage. And he did tell me how great. He loved that passage after I said something about it. And every time I mentioned that, you know, it was something that he loved that passage. The second part of this passage, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I don't remember him ever saying that he liked that verse. And I am using that verse as really the message today, because it's appropriate that we look at the things that we saw, like here it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, saying these things. We are looking at the things, and I can say for my own personal life, this will be my observations, that things that I learned and received and heard and saw in Dr. James Gross Jr., that is the things I'll bring to you today. And I think that he would not have done this himself. He was too humble. One of the things he always said is, if you asked him how he was doing, he would say, better than I deserved. And he would not have brought this verse himself. But I can do that. I can do this. And you can do it as well. He would have said he was perfect, or that he would probably not have put himself as an example. But there were things obvious that we can learn from him that were good and praiseworthy and honest, of good report, these kind of things. And so the first thing that I remember about Dr. Gross, and it's something that not automatically everybody thought of as a good thing, was Dr. Gross was a fighter. And some people from the church will remember, we had Sunday school classes where Dr. Gross would fight with me or Henry DeYoung or with some other, some of you here fought with him at various times. And I know from being with the family the last few days that there were some family fights too. And usually we always think of this as a negative thing, and our culture is so negative toward fighting. And yet, sometimes being a fighter is a good thing. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul writes, and this is right before the Apostle Paul would die, he writes, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And that truly can be said about Ralph Gross. He fought the fight. He's finished his race. He was ready to go into heaven. And the fighting that we did, not only in front of some of you, but in elders' meetings, we sharpened each other. We strengthened each other. Our bond together was stronger. Both Dr. Gross and I were wrestlers in high school. And I found out that the family didn't know that we talked about this. We would come back from a Presbytery meeting, or we would be driving in one or the other's car, and somehow wrestling would come up, and we'd tell our wrestling stories. And we wrestled not with flesh and blood now, but with principalities and powers. He was that too. And as we got closer, we found ourselves fighting together, fighting for the things that were true, fighting for the things that were noble and righteous and good. And I know the family and church members see this in Ralph. He was a man of conviction who would stand for what is right and good, and you need that kind of people. When I wasn't sure I was going to say this, but I had a pastor before I came here, before I was a pastor, named Angus McDonald. Angus, he'd say, for the cow, McDonald for the hamburger. And he had a personality like Ralph. He was very outgoing and gregarious. And he warned me one time. He said, beware of the women. And he didn't mean this in a bad way. He says, the women are all soft and they're gentle, and that's how they were made by God, and they're to be this. That's part of their ministry. But he said, you don't need to be that way. You sometimes need to be a fighter. and that was Dr. Gross. He was one who was willing to fight for what was right and good. Secondly, the second thing I learned from Dr. Gross is Dr. Gross was an eater. He loved to eat. And we went out to restaurants a lot. And I remember thinking, fat people really do know the best restaurants. And now I'm the expert. And he didn't end up that way. He ended up a lot thinner. But I kept thinking, whenever he guides me to a restaurant, or if he tells me when I'm that this particular thing on the, I was going right every time if I trusted his judgment in these things. And I remember one particular time, I had been at a presbytery meeting without him, and it was up by, north of Tampa. When I'm preaching, sometimes I mess things up, but north of Tampa. And I found this place where there was a buffet by myself, because it was after the presbytery meeting. I was hungry. And I remember taking Dr. Gross there. And we probably went back 5 or 6 times, each one of us. It was so good. And I was so happy I introduced him to a place. But it wasn't just that with Dr. Gross. It says in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, Jesus talking to the devil, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is one of those sermons I preached this on this passage. I think I titled the sermon Spiritual Eating. And it's not on sermon audio. It was one of the early sermons, I guess. And Dr. Gross really loved that sermon. And he had intelligent things to say in Sunday school about it. And I remember that about him. He always commented on sermons. And usually when it was a good sermon, he would comment in front of everybody in Sunday school. But when he had actual criticism, which there were occasions he did, he'd come to me quietly on the side. And he was good about that. And I appreciated that because he wasn't just saying good sermon like some people are. Christ is trying to encourage the pastor. But he was actually listening and getting something out of it. And we discussed the parts of it. And so he was a eater of the word. He was somebody who loved the word and studied it. And so it was not just the physical food that he ate, but spiritual food. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And the Hebrew word for meditate can be used for like the cow chewing the cud. And it chews and chews and chews and has so many stomachs and goes back and forth. And you are to do that with the word, to think on it, to meditate on it, to chew on it. And I remember him once talking about that with me. We chew on the word. And he would chew on the word. Thirdly, though, and maybe this is most important of all three that I remember about Dr. Gross, is Dr. Gross was a lover. It says in Matthew 22:36-40, somebody asked Jesus, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Dr. Gross was a man who loved God. That's why he was at church. That's why he studied the word. That's why he was always at elders' meeting. That's why even when he was sick, if he couldn't make it to church, I remember he always would text me, I'm praying for you, when he's sick. He was that kind of person. The other thing, he loved Joyce, and he loved his family. And this is something that I could say my mom noticed most. My mom and dad didn't always have the greatest relationship with each other. But mom came to this church, and she called me Arnold, not Arnie. And she says, Arnold, I go to church and I see Ralph and Joyce holding hands, and I think it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful, the relationship they have with each other. And she wished that she had that with my dad, this beautiful relationship. I know part of it was because Christ was in the middle of it and helping you to have that kind of relationship. Both my mom and dad came to Christ late in life, and my dad very late in life. And I know the one blessing is when he died, my mom was with him, and he said, "I love you, Francie," right before he died. That's his last words. So she did have that, and she's appreciated more after the death because he showed his love in certain ways. But you had that, and it's beautiful. God loved this church. I mean, Ralph loved this church. Of course, God loved it. Ralph loved this church, and he loved being an elder in it. The position he took very seriously. He tried to be at every elders meeting as much as he could. And we hardly had any elders meeting without him. But number four, and this is the one I actually just added this morning. He loved parties. And he was at the church Thanksgiving party, which was the Saturday before Thanksgiving at my house. And he and Joyce were the last persons to leave that party. I'm thinking at least an hour after others left. And the things that I remember him saying to me last was, "This is a great party. This was awesome." And he's saying it again and again. "We need to do this more," and all this. Well, I know now it's not his best party. He's saying, if he could talk to me now, he's saying, "Arnie," he started, this is another thing. I was always Pastor Arnie or Pastor Brevik, very formal. I was much less formal than him. And towards the end of our time together, he started calling me Arnie, and he was okay with me calling him Ralph, which was really different. Mm-hmm. And he says, as I would say to him, it's because we're friends. And we were, and I know he really enjoyed that party, which I'm so happy that I learned to be a host from him as much as anybody else, and from your family, because you're gracious hosts. And you know, I told some of the family, I don't remember who, it meant more to me than the great sermon, because I'm used to giving sermons, I'm not used to giving parties. But he's at that party in heaven now. He's heard those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And he knows that Jesus loves him and died for him. And he's in that place where there's no more sin, there's no more crying, there's no more pain. And so he's in that better place. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Ralph Gross and the life and the example he was to all of us. I pray for Joyce, and I pray for the whole family, because they will miss him. And yet we also know that he's in this better place, and he's rejoicing with you. And I know he would want us all to rejoice in the fact that he's graduated, as he would always say. And so, Father, we pray you'd be with us that are left behind, especially the family, and even our church family, and all his friends. And comfort us, strengthen us, and be with the rest of this service as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will sing hymn number 691, "It Is Well With My Soul." Please, no, you may remain seated this way. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you must help me to say,
with my soul.
Portion of the service will have eulogies given by Ralph Gross III, Joshua Gross, and David Gross. And I'm going to come down.
Declared us righteous and hoping on that great day of judgment. men without fathers or dads. I'm lucky to say that I've had both. I have both a disciplinarian and a loving father. The last time he spoke to me, he said he loved me. And most men never get to hear that. RJ, I love you too. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 17, therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer person, though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And what an unbelievable legacy to feel remembered in the future, to be remembered in the present. We, his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, how we finish our race and as legacy. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, movable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Your example as a wife and as a mother is what we look for in a woman. Your shoes may be impossible to fill. But who you are and what you are has never changed. You're a saint walking among us, and we all love you. Dad, thank you for believing in me. We will see you in heaven. Love your son, Ralph James Group III. We love you guys.
And Josh Group.
Find the very source of truth and the very source of joy. source of that is in Jesus. Although his actions at times would speak otherwise, he certainly did hide the words of Christ in his heart, and he desired to be a better man. Thanks to the Holy Spirit living in him, he was able to do that. He was for certain a living testimony, using his gifts God gave him to teach and speak. If you didn't know, which I'm sure most of you do, Dad was somewhat of a wordsmith, right? Being fond of using the largest words to form the shortest sentences. I'm not sure how effective those really were for me because of the looks I gave him afterward. Looked a little bit like a deer in the headlights. Because I really didn't most of the time know what they meant. And so then, you know, he would go on and explain to me for, you know, 15 minutes, I think, is basically the penalty box kind of length of time. You know. But now, you know, he sent me on my way after that with me being able to see the world just a bit differently. But, you know, I look back on those times now, and I cherish those times. I was very proud. I'm still proud of those times. You know, knowing for each one of those instructive moments that those were for me. He had a lot of stuff going on. A lot of kids, a lot of irons in the fire. But those times were for me. You know, I look around and, you know, during those times, and, you know, people kind of, like, inched away, you know, during those times to try to kind of do their thing. But, you know, I cherish those times and those times that he took for me. I think for everyone, though, that he passionately taught obedience. He would ask us kids, and during the time of the daycare, he would teach us obedience by asking us, how do we obey? And it would be immediately, cheerfully, unconditionally, and completely. This is something that I really, really wanted out of Dad and talk about. He knew we can't possibly do this perfectly. You know, but he still told us, and he still taught it. He knew it pointed us to the cure. He taught us that the curse has been broken. That curse has been broken through Christ's work on the cross. So, with that legacy, thinking about that, this last week, I actually saw the words to Psalm 145:3. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy mighty works. And the words that were written that I saw were words written by my grandma's pen, like by my grandma, written on the back of my Uncle David's picture. And it just really spoke to me. And they're appreciated. I appreciated those words, and now they're appreciated by me and all of us, knowing that the promise is lavished on us by the Father through His Son, Jesus, throughout generations. As my family and I were listening to Dad's last precious for us, we heard each other speak of the good times. We saw and listened to each other's tears. We also listened to the soothing, reassuring promise of the gospel message being read by each other. We read Romans 8. Some of those verses were 38, 39 here. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We also read Isaiah 66, and some of those verses were 12 and 13. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip. and bounce upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We also said the 23rd Psalm together in that last minute, and with the last verse being, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's passing into eternal glory during these very moments as we spoke. It's helped me realize love a little better. That love is learned. Love is learned. That it is truth. Love is truth. And that it claims you. Love claims you. But also I've learned better through this, that it is fake, it's meaningless, and it's plain fraudulent, without knowing where the love source comes from. The source that we get through reading the scriptures, that I've meditated on. Because holy God, God holy, he won't have us in his presence, not for one second, outside of the perfect obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ. So let us know the depth and the width of offenses and the depth and width of offending, and see the reality of sin ruins us. Let's run to the eternal promise of grace for the forgiveness of sin with expectations of emulating our Prince of Peace. Let's definitely more. But let's return to worshiping and breathing our songs to our Creator and Savior, and praise Him, who alone is worthy in the heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, to break the seals on the scroll of the Book of Life, the sacrificial Lamb of God that wipes away our tears.
Not necessarily because he wanted it to be, but the fact that he had 8 unruly children made it so. All of us can tell you stories of how we helped him grow in the struggles that we brought his way. I once remember thinking it was a good idea to take the leftover sparklers, about 6 boxes of them, and taping them together with scotch tape, and leaving one just so I could be like the wick, and I set it off. And this thing was like, when it was going, a flame, like 3 to 4 feet, and I'm not joking, of melting scotch tape sparklers. And as I realize it, I'm thinking, I probably shouldn't be in my room while I do this. So I started running to the front door. And I get to the front door, and I go to throw it out. But when it's like 2 sparklers on there. When I looked behind me, and there was a pack of sparklers burned into the linoleum all throughout the house. I got every runner was in the house, and I tried to cover up.
And when Mom got home with Dad, and Dad was like, what is going on?
That's the first one. It was one of his not so great moments, but it was another process of sanctification and struggle that I brought his way that he's so thankful for in the end. So, as my father shared with a lot of you, he was brought to faith, kicking and screaming. The Holy Spirit drove him to the full knowledge and understanding of his grace and mercy. The foundation of his theology primarily came from the shorter Westminster Catechism Question and Answers and the Confession of Faith. It seemed to be like his life's mantra. What is man's chief end? He loved to tweak the answer just a little bit. Right? He says, to glorify God while enjoying him forever. His point was the two parts should never be separated. They should be married together and flow into each other naturally. Our lives need to be both parts of the answer, as almost as if he was simplifying Christ's answer to the rich man trying to ask, how do I get eternal life? It says, you should love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. If we could just glorify God while enjoying him forever in our daily lives, we would live truly sanctified lives. Although my father is now fully sanctified, it was not always the case. We knew his absolute desire to live out this mantra as well, but he fell short of it from time to time. We all knew how we could resoundingly agree that he grew as a husband, a father, a church leader, and a friend, and moreover, in his walk with Christ, every day of his life. Throughout my entire life, he was a man who desired much to train up his children in the way that he should go, so that in the end, they would not depart from it. And he held on to that proverb, and he prayed for that proverb so much throughout his entire life, that in the end, they would not depart from it. I saw my enraged father go from carrying out his biblical mandate to train, correct, and discipline, a little too zealously at times, to imposing a pre-spanking sermon with more focus on discipling than discipline. I couldn't remember one of those sermons. Not for the life of me, because all I was worried about was the spanking that was coming. But it gave us time together. And honestly, that was some of the most beautiful memories that I had with my father. Was right before I get my spanking. The Holy Spirit softened my father's heart throughout his entire life. I was able to see him slowly relinquish all control that he had, or that he thought he had, and give that to God. He continued to guide and direct and help his children any way that he could, almost to a fault. He pointed us to the foot of the cross, where at the end of his life he completely gave his hope and trust. Until the day he died, he prayed for all his progeny to abide in Christ and to truly glorify God while enjoying it forever.
It's so good to get up in the morning, so good to get out of the bed, so good to get up in the morning. He always sings this song to us. He used to bother me at the time, but now I'm gonna miss it. Denying my pleas of roller coaster rides or getting lost in the car. Any outing with him was a blessing. The ice cream, Frosties, and Abby's donuts were great, but my favorite was listening to him verbosely narrate any stories or sell something. That'll be missed. Love you, Dad.
Lily George. I'm number 8 of the 27 grandchildren, I believe. And one of my favorite memories, I was very, very young, and Granddaddy would always put little Debbie snowball cakes and sneak them into my lunchbox and would always tell me, oh, don't tell your mom. I remember just thinking he was the best ever.
I'm Anya, I'm 17 years old, and one thing that I always loved about Granddaddy is that he would carry us like little raspberry on our cheeks, and he loved it.
Hi, my name is Genesis, and I'm 8 years old, and one day I was at a restaurant with Granddaddy, and his expression, his emotion, was intense, and there was an empty beer bottle next to him, knocked it over, and it kept bouncing and bouncing and bouncing all on the ground, and when it finally stopped, he raised his hand, and everyone started clapping, because it didn't break. He raised his hand to let them know that it wasn't me, it was him.
This is Jordan. One of the things I loved the most about Grandpa was that he always had the best stories to tell.
This is Joshua, and my favorite memory about Grandpa is when we went fishing together and he taught me how to make longer casts with my fly rod.
SpongeBob, I like to miss the way that Grandpa used to make me laugh with his stories and his jokes.
This is Sherman. My favorite memory of Grandpa is when he came to visit and we had breakfast together and he sprayed whipped cream in my mouth.
Hi, Grandpa. This is Hannah. I must tell you that I will always remember the memories we made. For example, that time you took a bite of my buffalo chicken, you thought it was tremendously spicy. We told you to eat all of it. You acted like you would, then threw it off the pier. We laughed so hard. I love you, Grandpa. Thank you, Grandpa, for making my last memories with you so special. Thank you for letting me be the mother to your jar of the aquarium. Not to mention for christening me your favorite grandchild after our crying you for his beer. Thank you for everything you've ever taught me. Frank.
Hi, Benjamin here. Thank you, Grandpa, for telling me stories from your childhood. I also thank you for making your special pancakes, teaching me about plausible deniability when I snuck out to scoot.
I love you, Grandpa. We loved our fishing trip together.
This is Rachel.
Love you, Grandpa. Miss you so much. You have such a special place in not only my heart, but Vincent's heart as well.
This is Vincent.
I love you, Grandpa. And I miss you. I love you. And I want to get real from yourself.
This is Calvin. The one thing that I will always remember from Grandpa is the word phenomenal.
This is Calvin.
Good to miss you, Grandpa. Watch over. Love you.
This is Simon. I really like fishing with you and how you gave me your favorite rodding gear. I really hope we have more time together. Love you, Grandpa.
This is Akina. Thank you for being fun. You always made me laugh. I wish you could be here for one last hug. With God's will, I will see you in heaven. I love you.
This is Amana. I loved how you led us on your walker and pushed us around. I miss you so much. Love you.
This is Aya. I wish we could be together, but when I die, I'll go to heaven and I'll give you a big hug. Love you. This is Aya. I love you to the knee to toes.
Hey, Grandpa, Jimmy here. Just want to say thank you for your love and thank you for your friendship. And I just want to say how much I appreciate all the times you have been fishing and fighting pop, me, my love for the ocean and the water and stepping out there and changing life. I love you.
Thank you.
To come up and share a memory. Ed is going first. Ed is first.
We didn't put his name in
there. Okay. Your name should be in here, but it's not. So.
Thanks. Thank you, Arnie.
I hope you're okay.
I'll try to think of a few things that haven't been mentioned. Ralph was born in 48, Dave in 51, I was born in 54, John 55, and Strother in 61. So there's 13 years between Ralph and Strother. I'm right in the middle. Now, Dana was born in 71, and Sarah not till 88, so there's 17 years. Now, so I guess I'm the one here who knew him the longest at this point. The mantle keeps moving down to the boys. Ralph, someone mentioned him being formal. Ralph called me Edward. Joyce called me Ed. David called me Eddie. And that just says something about the personalities of the different ones. My relationship to Ralph was unique in this way. Now, being 6 years younger, I can truly say that Ralph was my hero. All of his, you know, neurologists nowadays, because of just the amazing science of learning that neurology has brought us, they can now touch your brain if you have an intact brain that's not been destroyed in any way. They can touch your brain and bring to your memory anything that you have ever seen in your life. That is this enormous ability of this God created mine. I can't tell you how many things that I cherish. About my brother. I was third in line. I can remember. I cannot remember, though I was scouted to play college football. I cannot remember single football games, but I can remember whole wrestling matches of watching Ralph. To this day, I can remember all his teammates. I can remember traveling to the sectional finals, and then he would win it and go to the States up in Ithaca or somewhere else in New York. I kind of broke the mold because I didn't like to wrestle. But I tried, because my oldest brother was a wrestler, and my next brother, David, was a wrestler. So I remember in 7th and 8th grade, I just wasn't mean enough to enjoy it. And so I shifted to basketball, but then Ralph and I became closer, because he'd come and even watch some of my games afterwards. I remember riding home with him one winter's night from a basketball game in Windsor, where he wrecked the car coming home, and he could spin a tail to get out of anything. But it was so funny, because it was icy, and he slid into a telephone pole, and one of the headlights just hit at about a 45 degree angle up about 40 feet all the way home. We were just laughing, and he was trying to figure out how he was going to spin this to Dad. And you know, in many ways, Dad, my dad, your grandpa, great grandpa, was very, very similar to your dad.
Yeah.
I read earlier this week by a Christian writer that I tremendously respect, that he said, the two greatest attributes of a believer is selflessness, is the fount of all virtue, and then the worst attribute is selfishness. I cannot remember Ralph being selfish. I had the privilege of teaching him in seminary and teaching my father in Bible college out in Kenya. And just often weeping together over some truth of God's Word. I can remember when Joyce, excuse me for those of you that don't call her that, but visited North and told me she wanted to receive Christ in her heart as her Lord and Savior. And John and I going upstairs into the bedroom. I can visualize it now. Well, before Ralph turned to Christ. Joyce did. These last years have been a blessing. Through COVID, of course, we weren't doing any missionary travels. So I would always tape on Saturday the Bassmasters competition. So that when I could, I'd watch it, but then I'd text and we'd talk or talk with Ralph. And I'd ask him all sorts of fishing questions, and you know, he, like even this trip now that Debbie and I, we were scheduled to come down here for 2 weeks before he died. And I said, where should we go if we get a bass fishing tour? And he told me the lake. He said, we just went on one, and, you know, it was so memorable. We would always watch the Big Ten wrestling championships and the national championships together on the phone and just talk back and forth. He was just an amazing friend for me. You know, when we were holding vigil with you all the night he went to be with the Lord, we were just praying and going through scriptures that speak of heaven and or the second coming. Well, in Revelation 19, it speaks of Christ coming from heaven, and he has two names, Faithful and True. Immediately, I thought of Ralph as being Christ-like. I knew no one as loyal and faithful to the family, to right as Ralph. Of course, my dad, his dad, died in 85. And my mom was tetherless for a long time without grandma. And eventually got her feet and did very well and grew very gracious herself the older she got, which is remarkable work of Christ. But we were able to get her situated in a nursing home up near us in Winco, Pennsylvania, as a pastor and she a missionary. It had to be almost like a gift, and they were willing to give it. But her room and the place was miserable. And Mom had a flair about her grandma, her great-grandma, and had to have things a certain way. Well, this is how her transition to Florida happened. She came down to visit. And they were calling me from Phoebe, the nursing home, saying, when's she coming home? When's she coming back? And so I had to call her and say, they're asking, when are you coming back? She, now I only God knows. But she misplaced her false teeth and said, I can't travel looking like this. And she ended up staying in Florida the rest of her life. And I often spoke to Ralph and Joyce. And Ralph said, you know, Ed, I feel as though it should just be this way. Whatever it takes to, for me, Ralph, the head of the family now, to take care of my mother. And it wasn't always easy, as you know. But he was faithful to you all, to me. I probably didn't have two more faithful prayer warriors and all our mission work than Joyce and Ron. Faithful and true. Now, I knew Ralph before he was born again. And I'm not going to glorify that. He was a lot of fun. He was a fighter, literally. He told me about when he cut classes on hunting day. And once, Dad told me this story this year in May when I flew down to see him. He said, I can remember. He told me of the day they got off, it started to snow. They weren't dressed properly, he and his friend Joe Lewis. And here comes Dad, because the truant officer or the vice principal called Dad and said, Ralph's not in school again. and Dad knew exactly where he'd be. But he didn't. Ralph said he didn't have to beat me. I knew I had disappointed him. And that was a beating enough. And his stories as... I'll stop here. At a memorial, you don't want to let go. You want to keep going. His verbosity and his wordsmithing, sometimes very unique wordsmithing. But
original.
I remember saying to Deb after he went to be with the Lord, this will probably be the last time we have ever heard the word progeny. You and your progeny. Whenever you talked about your kids and grandkids and all this progeny. And I thought, boy, he loved that word. Well, he passes Monday night. Tuesday mornings, I hold kind of a East Coast teleconference prayer meeting at 6:30. And lo and behold, one of the women praying said progeny. And I almost lost it, just thinking of my brother, my dear, beloved brother. It won't be long. We'll be together again. There was one verse that he and I talked about, because we'd often meet non-Christians who wanted to debate, or Christians who had lapsed into wider beliefs. And this was the text that always, with him and with me, settled the issue. And I want to leave it with you. In Galatians 2:21, it says, Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were available through the law, then Christ died for nothing. I want you to remember that. For whenever you start thinking that it's Jesus plus anything, anyone, any other way or any other word, Paul said, the reason that cannot be so is that if there was possible in the sight of God to become righteous in any other way than by faith in Christ, then Christ died for nothing. In other words, the Father put the Son through that misery for nothing, because salvation is available outside of Him. And that, I hope all of you will forever remember. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, Arnie. God bless you all.
Someone else.
And we all hear that rolling of the thunder. I'm not the youngest. He's going to speak in a bit, probably. But my name's John. And, I was thinking, what would I say today as we're together? And, a bunch of things came to mind things that we remember about our family growing up, being together. It's funny, Martha said, we have a lot of history. We go back. She said, we really go back. And that's the truth. The things that, like Dr. Seuss said, all the places we will go, it's been amazing. But I would add, would also say, as far as Ralph is concerned, he very much was a hero. And boy, the things that he could do and did absolutely amazed us. The one that came to mind was when he left home. It's probably one of the worst days of my life. But my oldest brother just laughs. He was gone. Out. He was actually becoming a man and had to kind of leave the house to do that. And but that hero was gone. And I'll tell you, it really rocked our world when that happened. That the second born, he left home 5 times. He kept coming back. Ralph would go cut school to go fishing and hunting. David would cut school to go to a beer party or to something like that. Ralph wasn't doing bad things like the second born did. And really, for those of you that knew my mother, she prayed and prayed him into heaven.
Amen.
And that brother really came to a place where he admitted his need for Christ and loved him dearly when he passed. And you know, my mother prayed, and she prayed for all of you, prayed for me, every one of you that I see here. I know my mother prayed for, but I know my brother did too. And I don't know, I guess I get to my notes. Unless they disappeared all of a sudden. No, here they are. Okay. So, we were proud of him for his athletic abilities. Key player on the football teams he played on. He played center. And you know what? That's the most unsung position in football. But the abuse that a center takes, it's brutal. Ralph, I remember him putting a tape measure around his thighs when he was in high school, size 38. Now, there are some people that don't even have a 38 waist. And when he squatted and got in a three-point stance, God help the person that was on the other side of the ball. He was a force to be reckoned with in football. And then as Ed said, as a heavyweight wrestler. You know, wrestling is a cool sport because it's not only an individual thing, but it's a team thing. If you haven't ever watched high school wrestling, you know, a lot of the matches were won or lost by the heavyweight person. And they knew that, you know, if it was going to be a matter of the team winning or losing, they were so confident. And he'd get up, I don't know how Ed could probably say, but maybe 3 wrestlers before his turn. He would get up, and he'd get behind. You know, they have a whole line of guys that were sitting, waiting to, or having had wrestled. And Ralph would start pacing. And he'd take an orange and put it in his mouth. And, you know, you'd see him, he'd smile, and the orange would be like, there, he'd spit it out. And he was so intimidating to anybody that was looking. And some of these guys, they knew what they were going to be facing. It was going to be near death. Ralph had a signature move that he taught us, and one that he absolutely loved. It's when you got somebody down, you buried your chin into their body and hurt them. His chin was like a chisel. And you know, There was a guy that wrestled with him that had an artificial eye. He had shot an arrow into the sky and was looking up, and the arrow came back down and took his eye out. Well, that guy had a glass eye, and he would intimidate the other team by sometimes letting it pop out during the match, and he'd pick it up and put it in his mouth and do like this and pop it back in. Well, Ralph had a way of just by his pacing, he would scare the daylights out of anybody that they knew they were going to get in the mat, and you score more points by having a pin.
Yeah.
And if Ralph needed that, if his team needed the pin, he'd have the guy, it would be in the first period, he'd have him on the mat. And he'd be running him down one side and up the other. What a force. But there was one guy, a guy by the name of Spracco, I think his name was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Spracco, when he got on the at the state level, Spracco had Ralph's number. And it, you know, that really tore my heart out. I'd go to those state matches, and you'd be waiting for him to win. And he came up short. But boy, he was fun to watch. Anyhow, I wanted to get into that. So, at a lot of levels, football and wrestling, he led his team to victory in many ways. Anyhow, the other thing, some of you will remember, I know Ed and I will remember it, I don't know if his father, yeah, he probably was doing this. Do you remember how Ralph used to take his two fingers and thump you on the chest?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and right, you know, right at the sternum. And you'd be like, oh, dude, you know. You knew that it was going to hurt, and there was nothing you could do to stop it. And then I think, and I got to say to the family, especially the male figures of the family, Daniel was here to tell you. I don't know if I ever did it to you, but I had a college ring. I would turn over, and I would thump. Especially you guys. I don't know if I did it to you. Anyhow, I thumped you on the head, and I said, you can call me Uncle Herb. Now, you guys probably remember that. I don't know, did I do it to you, child? No. Maybe it was to the older ones. A lot. Daniel.
He was with you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, I guess really deep down inside, that was my answer back to Ralph. He bumped me on the chest. I got even with his kids. Really cheap. Really cheap.
Yeah,
but I did. And I'm kind of proud I did. But this morning at 3:30, I woke up to do what some of us at my age have to do. And I was wondering what to say, and I wrote some of this stuff. And the thing that really hit me, and hit me hard, was that Ralph was a person who was always there. Now, I really want to grip you with this, that every one of you, Arnie, and all the family knew that Ralph was there, didn't we? Whether it was on the phone, by text, by calling. For me, when I was, mom and dad were not a part of my life, other than by snail mail. They were in Africa. Every time that the school would break for Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'd get in my car and drive from Cape Canaveral, Florida, where I was in college, up to Greenwood or Abbeville. And then we started what was my dad and my mom. I didn't realize it, but that's what Joyce, you and Ralph were. I had a place I could go when I had no place to go. And I had a family. That's why you guys, you nieces and nephews of this family, will always be so close to me. Because we shared so much together, didn't we? So many memories. And I love you in a way that is more than, you know, I love all my nieces and nephews, but you've got to be the most special family to me. And I am forever grateful for the relationship that we share, every one of you. Anyhow, that's being there. Boy, that hit me. He was there for me. He enjoys. And, you know, when it being cool, there was nobody cooler than Ralph and Joyce with their blue GTX, was it? Convertible. Gorgeous car. You know, and he would say, you know, there were only 500 of these made. He had one of them. And I remember being in the apartment that he had. I think he lived with somebody when you were first dating. Ralph had me in. This is going to be very inappropriate. But Ralph, I had to sleep in the bed with him. I think there were things going on with him and Joyce. I won't say what I didn't know or what I knew, but anyhow, you know, they were pretty close, I think. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, Ralph's leg ended up on top of me in a most inappropriate way. And, you know, he was dead asleep, and I'm like, get the heck off of me, you know? And I think, you know, this isn't Joyce in here. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah. That's not a pillow. Yeah. Right. But as I finish up, I think we all lean on Ralph always being there. And like Ed said, that's the hard part of a memorial service. We want to hold on. And I'll tell you, in my life, being a pastor and everything, I think there's certain things that are healthy and certain things that may not be so healthy. But I'll tell you, I'll go to my dad and mom's grave. And I'll talk to them. I know they're not there. I know their remains are there. And that's a special place to go. I live nearby where my parents are buried. And I try to get up there and tend the markers and clean them. When I went up to Green, I took cleaning materials to clean my grandfather's and my great-grandfather's markers. And there'll be a day, as I understand, that we'll be able to go up to Green and be at Ralph's grave. And I'll talk to him. I'll even talk to him now. I know I will. I know you will. There'll be times when you want to share something that you guys go through in life. And you wish your grandfather was there. And you'll miss him. And he... Believe me, the Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses. And I believe heaven is a place where we know more. We are made perfect. And in being made perfect, we'll have perfect understanding looking back down as a cloud of witnesses. Being a witness of one another's families. And I don't invoke prayers by the dead for us, but I know they care and that they one day will look forward to having us with them with the Lord. So Joyce and being there, you know, Ralph used to text, God knows we've texted times where it pinged and we probably were like, come on, man. Yeah, three or four of them at a time. Oh, I mean, come on, let me up for air. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this loop? Or emails before that. But Ralph was always there. And how thankful I am for that part of his life. I know heaven is going to be a wonderful place for all of us that have Christ as our personal Savior, because He bore our sins in His body in that tree a long time ago. Anyhow, I think I'm getting close to the end. Being there, sweet memories of being there will follow me to my deathbed. I'll always remember his being there. So I say goodbye to my dear friend and brother. Until we'll all be together there. That's the great hope of John 14. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's the there that we all want to be, you know, ultimately. At the close of our life. So I invite you to trust in Him and find the comfort that there is, that in our death there's a promise of eternal life, that, you know, it's going to be so cool. So many of our loved ones are already there, and we look forward to the time where we'll be there. We can be there for one another, can't we?
Yeah.
Amen.
And we're going to have to be there for Joyce. And maybe some of those texts now will get diverted to your phone. And maybe when we're watching the Bassmasters, we'll be like, Joyce. Oh, I'm going to say too. All the things I ever learned about hunting and fishing, how to tie a hook, how many different ways there are to tie. He knew them all.
Yeah.
He knew every trick, every gimmick, anything that he could shoot, he could hunt. He stole my red boots. I stole
them.
You did?
The other way around.
Oh.
I didn't say that for him. I know he didn't say it to you.
Yeah.
That's good.
I have his jacket on right now, but he gave it to me.
Aww.
You know, you think about Ralph and all that he met. He is so kind. And like John said, he was a father to us. When my parents were in Africa, we weren't able, you know, to have anybody there. He was there. I can remember he was the one who taught me how to tie my shoes. While I was up at the McDonald's. He taught me how to tie my shoes. He just always cared about me. And that really was one thing. And when we would come back and we would visit, I just loved to go and be with him. I used to go, he worked at Sky City as a sporting goods guy, and I would just go and sit with him. And that was like the best thing, just to sit there and watch him talk to people, you know. And then when he worked at the, I don't know what, Quick Trip or some 7-Eleven or something, but all the characters that would come in, he would work the third shift. Mike Royston, the guy, you remember Mike, he had like three or four Trans Ams. His parents owned that junkyard.
Yeah.
But Mike was crazy. But he always had that wink in his eye. Ralph had these friends that were just like, they were just the best people. And they would all come and they would play cards. And all night, like, they would be there. I just remember that. I remember borrowing, I think, Skip Miller's gun. And I got some mud in the barrel and blew the barrel off. And Ralph said, well, it was a long gun. He said, we'll just cut it off and we'll put a new bead on it. And he gave it back to Skip. Skip's like, what happened to my gun? I remember things like, you know, how he was kind. And like, he made mistakes or he did things, and he had a forgiving heart. You know, he always had a way of, you know, loving you all the time. He was a wonderful person in that regard. The memory that I have of John and you and I, we're the only ones who know, but she caught, most likely would have caught, the largest bass out of Ludlow I've ever seen, and we lost it at the boat. And the one time I saw Joyce get really angry, and John was like, you know, had a few choice words, and she wanted to show that fish to Ralph. And I remember that. You know, he was just a wonderful, wonderful person, and I will miss him. I will miss him. And you know, all the love that I hear everyone sharing here is the same love that I received. And I'll never forget. Oh yeah, learning how to drive in the VW, that green VW bus, and going and get my learner's permit and everything. He was there, you know, during that. But God bless him. I miss him, and I love him. I love all of you. Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyone else want to share?
Rachel, the second oldest granddaughter. I have so many memories and so many firsts because of him. And my mom told me that when I was little, he was the first one to really get me into loving my love for singing. And he would make noises and I'd follow and make noises after.
She was sorry. She said, just kidding.
He taught me and many others how to fish, and not only how to bait a fish, but how to clean it and how to cook it in every way possible and every fish possible. He taught me and my brothers how to swim in that pool, even after it got little tiny holes.
And he cleaned it together.
Yeah. He was there for me when I felt like I didn't have anybody. He was always stern, but it wasn't in a non-loving way. It was because he felt so strongly and he loved so hard. And over the years of, I feel like, him having grandkids, his love just grew bigger and bigger and softer and softer. And the car trips that he took us on, where it felt like we were on a roller coaster ride, because we were off the road and just make us laugh. And the memories from that, like, I do it with my kids now because I remember how much I loved it. He would take us to Sweet Scoops like almost every other day to spoil us with ice cream because he knew the best flavors, and he'd always have us try something different, and he would make us the biggest pancakes ever. Like, how do you eat one pancake that big overflowing from a plate? And then he'd throw all sorts of toppings on top of it, like it wasn't big enough. And he just brought so much joy and love to everybody. And he was the core of our family. And he was the reason why we love God so much because we continue to see his face over and over again, and he showed that it's not only love, but it's unconditional love, and he had that for not only his family, but for total strangers that you would meet and he would come in contact with. He could tell stories that would blow everybody's mind with just the way that he would articulate and the way that he was a businessman, and he could sell anything. He really could. I'm so grateful for the time that me and Vincent got to spend with him and Grandma, and for those 2 years that we lived with them. Like, I will cherish them forever, and Vincent loves Grandpa so much, and he misses him, and I do too, but he'll always be remembered.
He'll
always be
remembered. Thank you.
And
he loves you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Actually,
I'll do this too. Anyone else wants to share? The family told me that that anybody who wants to share, they're going to sit and listen. So there's not been a non-family member yet. So.
Are you? Oh. Don't get nervous. I am David Stewart. I am Ruth and Grant's pastor. I am one of whom Arnie spoke earlier with Ralph liked to fight. And I'm one of those with whom he fought. And I will be very brief. I was thinking this morning on the way up as I was driving here, Paul's effusive praise for the Thessalonians, for their faith and their love. And he thanked God in remembrance of them. And I was thanking God for Ralph this morning. The last memory I have of him was at our presbytery meeting in September. And we had had some rather curt conversations prior to that. At the end of the service, of the meeting, Ralph made his way very quickly to me. And he said, David, I need to apologize to you. I wasn't sure he had actually offended me, but I received graciously that apology. It spoke volumes of the man that Ralph was, and I will miss him at Presbytery.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, we have two at one. Ron, you'll go next.
Hi, I'm married to Ed. I'm Debbie, Aunt Debbie. And I've been in the family now for almost 46 years. So I've got some other things I wanted to share. You know, one of the things that has impressed me so much with Ralph is what a lot of you have said, his generosity and his loyalty. Boy, was he a loyal guy when it came to family and friends. Mm. No one more loyal. I'll give you a couple memories. We were living at the seminary, and Ralph and Joyce were living over us, you know, and our kids, the four of them, and they're over ahead of us. And it was the end of the term, and Ed had gone out to take care of the car, and here I was at home getting ready. We had bought a little place down at, I guess it was Marmora, and we were getting ready to go down there and take the kids. It was like a trailer, you know, near the shore. And kids were really excited. So I was getting things ready. And I had put the baby in the bed. This was Hope. She's like 3 months old, 4 months old. So I go in the back room there trying to get something. I'm standing on this chair, reaching up really high. And I thought, I'm just going to shove this thing back up there. I go with both hands, shove it up there. And I go out from under myself like that and just fall and just twist this arm and just mangle it. And I'm lying there in pain, and I don't know how I get to the phone, but I call Ralph, and I said, hey, I need you, Ralph. And I'm in desperate pain. He comes down, he sees me, he helps me, we get in the car, we go to the ER, and he's just talking to me so nicely, telling me, oh, it's going to be all right. It'll be fine, they'll get it up. And I tell you what, they kept me overnight. They put me to sleep. They put two pins in it. It was a mess. Mm, yeah. But Ralph was just Mr. Loyal to stay right there with me. And, we laughed about that later because he said it was the ugliest thing he'd ever done. But he's telling me how wonderful, And then another memory I had was, I don't know if you remember this, Joyce. I was pregnant with Charity, and we were at, I think it was at your place there in Abbeville, and Dad and Mom were there, and some of the boys were there, and they're shooting bottle rockets, and here I am pregnant, first baby, and I'm the shy kind of person, and Dad's like, he yelled at those boys, don't you ever do that again. And it was just, it was the fun, it wasn't just Ralph, it was the other boys too. It was my introduction into the family.
Welcome.
But I remember so many wonderful things, and we're just going to,
We were shooting bottle rockets at each other. And you just stepped out of the door.
Yes. Well, we had such wonderful Thanksgiving meals up in your second floor. It was the hugest apartment. It was just enormous. Mm-hmm. And we just had the greatest time. And Joyce could make anything taste amazing. Yeah. Especially your sweet potato casserole. Oh my goodness, they talked about that forever. Mm-hmm. But our kids love so much being, with your kids and being the strawberry patch, the raspberry patch, going out under the monkey tree, and all those sorts of things, and all the things they got into. But we love you, Joyce. We love you, family, and we're going to deeply miss you, especially the way that we've come to love you all more and more as time goes on. Thank you.
Ron Freeman is next. Ron is one of our elders here, along with me and Ralph right now. So he was.
Ralph, as many of you have commented, had a way with words. And can you turn it up a little? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Closer to your mouth. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. He had a way with words. And I remember that when I was first elected and joined the session, that went to the first elders meeting with Ralph and Pastor Berwick, and it lasted from 8:30 until 4:30. And I thought to myself when I was leaving, I'm going to find a way to make this short. Well, we got it dialed back to about 8:30 to 1 o'clock. But Ralph never, ever gave up his being in a position where he put a stake in the ground, and that's where it stayed. Yeah. He would not compromise. He found that if we had a disagreement among us, that we would debate it to table. And then we would reserve it for next time. One of his favorite words was providential. Providential. And it would happen that between then and the next session meeting, the particular issue would self-resolve. Providentially. Yes. So I'll always remember those things about Ralph. He was very patient, very reliable. Not like Florida Power and Light is reliable, but he was reliable in that when somebody needed him, he was there for them. He was focused on them. Mm-hmm. And then he would move on from that. He just seemed to be always available. And on this route, now it's just going to be Pastor Brevik and I arguing. And as before, if something is not resolved, we're tabling. We hope that the Lord sends us another man to join us, because it's easier to run any meeting with an odd number of people. Although we never had a 2-to-1 vote, we always had a unanimous vote in the long run, partly because of that tabling in Providence. When there's only two, it's much more difficult in the short run and even in the long run. So I would ask you to pray for your dad's replacement, your granddad's replacement, your great-granddad's replacement on our elders board this session. He will be missed. His wisdom will be missed. And his humor will be missed. He had something attached to the end of his arm. And he used it occasionally. Pastor has a wooden table. And when Ralph was trying to make a point, that hammer would come down. You may have seen that before yourselves. But that is something that he used to express his firm commitment while we were debating. And so when he did that, we sort of took note and reconsidered his point of view. And often he brought us around just because we were paying closer attention to what he had to say. So God bless you all. We will miss Ralph in our session meetings, in our church, and we hope that, as we all will, see him in heaven at some time in the future.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else that wants to share? There are none. The next thing we're doing is singing number 701. Is it correct?
Yes.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I think I'll...
No, I'll give you
I'll go back up and take things from there. I'll do the benediction. I'll take this, though. You can take that.
Thank you.
No, and this.
Okay.
This microphone.
Okay. So
we
just remind people about putting their
memories
back in the memory box.
Okay. And you can invite people to
that.
Redeemed, name it redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed to his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, I am so happy in Jesus. Language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed with infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. With thee that my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed to his infinite mercy, his child, forever I am. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The family wanted me to remind you, if you took one of the cards with the memory on it, please put it in the basket on your way out. Also, if you are wanting to come, we're going to have lunch. They didn't want me to use the word repast. Lunch at my house, or whatever kind of meal it is. And if you don't know my address, most of the church people, I have a few little write things I have my address written on. So get to meaty before you leave if you want to come and you don't know my address. And you're welcome to come and stay as long as you want or stay as little as you want. So this concludes our service. Thank you.